It took 3 years to complete. It was one of the most recognized paintings in the world. With this image found on things such as carpet, carvings, and canvases, with lifelike facial expressions unable to be captured by anyone else at the time, the 15-foot by 29-foot painting became an instant masterpiece. I'm talking about The Last Supper by the great master Leonardo da Vinci. When Leonardo was 43 years old, the Duke of Milan asked him to paint this dramatic scene. Da Vinci worked on and off for 3 years, from 1495 to 98, on this assignment, grouping the disciples into threes, two groups on either side of the central figure of Jesus. When the masterpiece was finished, Da Vinci said to a friend, "Look at it and give me your honest opinion." "It's wonderful," exclaimed the friend. "Christ's chalice is so real, I can't take my eyes off of it." Immediately, Da Vinci took a brush and painted over the chalice, exclaiming, "Nothing shall detract from Jesus. Nothing shall detract from Jesus." Why is that? Because Jesus was betrayed. Let that soak in a little bit. Jesus was betrayed. The words of institution for the Holy Supper begin on the night in which he was betrayed. We hear these words so often that sometimes we just don't really hear them. We're in a series that is quickly coming to a close that's called The Witnesses to Christ. Today we meet Judas Iscariot. And we meet him in the upper room the night that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus says in verse 21, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Betrayed by Judas, one of his 12 disciples. Betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Imagine that, a kiss. Betrayed by Judas in the garden east of Jerusalem called Gethsemane. Betrayed. That's why Da Vinci exclaimed, "Nothing shall detract from Jesus." Jesus was betrayed for us. According to Matthew 26, verse 25, Judas was seated close to Jesus, close enough for the two of them to carry on a private conversation. It may be that the Savior singles out Judas as a very important guest. Then Jesus gives Judas a morsel of bread, even while Judas was still holding on to his plan to betray him. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. The term Satan is only used once in all of John's gospel, and it's used to tell this very story. This accents the absolute seriousness of the situation. John 6, verse 70 calls Judas a devil, while Mark 5, 13 and Luke 8, verse 30 employ the same vocabulary to describe the evil spirits that entered the Gerasene man that was possessed. In his masterpiece, Da Vinci also paints a spilled salt shaker next to the elbow of Judas Iscariot. We both probably missed that small detail. But in Matthew 5:13, Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." Judas lost his salt because of his greed. We lose our salt because of our greed, our constant lust for more and more. The painting also depicts the disciples eating herring. In Da Vinci's northern Italian dialect, The word for herring is renga. Renga, in that dialect, also describes someone who denies religion. Whoa. Judas isn't the only sinner present at the Last Supper. Peter denies Jesus in the high priest's courtyard. The disciples denied Jesus at Gethsemane. Renga, all of them. Renga, all of us. John writes, after receiving the morsel of bread, he, Judas, immediately went out. And it was night, from verse 30. It's dark. The whole scene is dark. Jesus warned that night was coming. Night and darkness now come with a vengeance. Why did Jesus allow all this to happen? It was for you. For you are powerful gospel words. God is not against you or in opposition to you. God is not your enemy. God is for you. Not just for him or for her or for those or for them. God's love is intensely personal. It is for you. When we go to a restaurant, the hostess wants to know how many are in our party. Can you imagine going into the restaurant and not knowing how many people are with you? The hostess says, "How many are in your party?" And we say, "Well, I'm not really sure." And the hostess says, "Well, how many will be joining you for dinner?" We say, "Well, I don't know." Well, when it comes to the Holy Supper, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, how many are in your party? Do you know? Well, the answer is two. Holy Communion is a table for two. Real body, real blood are given for you. The table is set for Jesus and you. Martin Luther writes, this is something more than the sermon. For although the same thing is present in the sermon as in the sacrament, here there is a direct advantage for the definite individual. That's because Jesus never gives up on you. You may give up on you, but Jesus never gives up on you. When the soldier spit in his face, Jesus didn't give up. When the whip ripped open his back, Jesus didn't give up. When the nails crushed his nerves, Jesus didn't give up. Come what may, even when we betray him, deny him, Jesus doesn't give up. Jesus will never give up on you. Did you know that since the completion of the Last Supper in 1498, it's been falling apart? Leonardo da Vinci, always the inventor, tried using new materials for this painting. Instead of the customary wet plaster, he used dry plaster. Now, the dry plaster worked well artistically, but not well for sustainability. Experts have been restoring the painting ever since it was done originally. It's kind of fitting, actually. The Lord's Supper is for people whose lives, like the painting, are always falling apart. In this life, we'll never get it right. We never get it right. Thank God we have the gospel words for you. In the Lord's Supper, God acts for you right here and right now. God delivers Christ's true body and true blood here and now. Holy Communion is the opposite of remembering a dead man. Holy Communion is a meal with a man who lives. How so? The word is in take, eat, this is my body, and take, eat, or take, drink, this is my blood, means is. It doesn't mean signifies, represents, or symbolizes. This view didn't even arise until the 11th century. It was promoted by a French theologian named Berenger of Tours, whose theology could be summed up in the words, flee to reason. No, no, no. Flee to Scripture. This is for you. 13 years ago, a middle-aged and slightly overweight Scottish woman walked out from behind a theater curtain onto center stage during the third season of Britain's Got Talent. Her hair was going in all kinds of different directions. She wasn't wearing a dress that was the latest style, and really, honestly, it wasn't very flattering. People in the audience rolled their eyes, groaned, let out a collective sigh of disappointment. No one expected anything from this woman. That's the way it was on April 11th, 2009, when Susan Boyle began to sing I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables. After her song, though, people exploded with applause. The video clip of Susan Boyle became the most watched YouTube video of that time. Her first recording broke all record sales, becoming the UK's best-selling debut album of all time. In 2021, or as of 2021, Susan Boyle has sold over 19 million record albums. Susan Boyle wasn't what people expected. Susan Boyle was so much more. And here's my point. What may look ordinary can be completely extraordinary. The Lord's Supper is just like that. When Christ's words, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, are spoken over the bread and the wine, it's not what we expect. It is so much more than that. The bread participates with Christ's body. The wine participates with Christ's blood. What may look ordinary is completely extraordinary. But there's more. There's always more in the gospel. Da Vinci's The Last Supper includes a view of heaven. The Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the feast to come. Jesus is coming to restore all things. At the heavenly banquet, we no longer have to look at our sin. We'll be perfect. We'll be wearing white robes washed in the blood of Jesus. At the heavenly banquet, we'll no longer be sad because of broken hearts and broken lives. In heaven, we'll be gathered together with the angels and the archangels, all the company of heaven. At the heavenly banquet, we'll no longer need Jesus to come to us in the sacrament. We'll see Jesus face to face, and he'll fill us with an unspeakable joy that will never end. People use a lot of words when they speak about Holy Communion, words like sacrament, Eucharist. Some of the most important words about communion are two short little words, three letters each, for you. For you, in the past, Christ died. For you right now, Christ is present. For you in the future, you'll partake of the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. And you'll be seated at the banquet table, seeing Christ face to face. Now that's a supper worthy to be called a masterpiece. Amen.